Praise the Lord, everyone. Glory to God. Well, we are glad to be here tonight, and we're glad to have all of you who are with us, and we know that some of you are listening from quite a distance away, but we are so thankful that you are able to do so and that we are able to broadcast. So praise the Lord. It's good to have you all with us. We are going to open with a prayer tonight. Father in heaven, we come to thee in prayer, thanking thee for this blessed night and this blessed opportunity to be in thy presence once again. And we pray, Lord, that thy anointing would be here, that thy spirit would be upon thy people. And we pray, Lord, that our souls would be inspired this day to worship thee, to praise thee with all our hearts, Lord, to worship thee with all of our hearts, with all of our minds, with all of our souls, Lord. We pray, O God, that thou would move upon us by thy spirit and by thy power, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that we would be changed for the better. Even as we praise thee right now, we ask, Lord, that thou would inhabit the praises of thy people, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that thou would bless this entire service. We pray, Lord, that it would accomplish thy will. And we pray, Lord, that it would cause a deep reaction in the very core of our souls. We pray this in Jesus' name. Through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to start with number 15 in the chorus book tonight. The windows of heaven are open. Number 15. The windows of heaven are open. The Savior is calling tonight. There is joy, joy, joy in my heart, since Jesus made everything right. I gave him my old tattered garment. He gave me a robe of pure white. I'm feasting a manna from heaven, and that's why I'm happy tonight. The windows of heaven are open. The Savior is calling tonight. There is joy, joy, joy in my heart, since Jesus made everything right. I gave him my old tattered garment. He gave me a robe of pure white. I'm feasting on manna from heaven, and that's why I'm happy tonight. The windows of heaven are open. The Savior is calling tonight. There is joy, joy, joy in my heart, since Jesus made everything right. I gave him my old tattered garment. He gave me a robe of pure white. I'm feasting on manna from heaven, and that's why I'm happy tonight. Praise the Lord. God. Of course, we know that we live in a troubled world right now, and we know that it's very difficult in a lot of places, but no matter where you are tonight, you can praise and worship God where you are, whether you're in California or Oklahoma or Canada or Florida or Singapore or wherever you may be tonight. You can worship the Lord where you are. In fact, we can worship the Lord wherever we are, and we should do that every single day. We're going to turn to number 94 in the chorus book and sing, "Wherever I am, I'll praise him. Whenever I can, I'll praise him." Number 94. Wherever I am, I'll praise Him whenever I can. I'll praise Him for His love surrounds me like a sea. I'll praise the name of Jesus, lift up the name of Jesus, for the name of Jesus lifted me. Wherever I am, I'll praise Him whenever I can. I'll praise Him for His love surrounds me like a sea. I'll praise the name of Jesus, lift up the name of Jesus, for the name of Jesus lifted me. Wherever I am, I'll praise Him whenever I can. I'll praise Him for His love surrounds me like a sea. I'll praise the name of Jesus, lift up the name of Jesus, for the name of Jesus lifted me. I'll praise Him whenever I can. I'll praise Him for His love surrounds me like a sea. I'll praise the name of Jesus, lift up the name of Jesus, for the name of Jesus lifted me. Praise the Lord. We're going to turn now to number 180 and sing Greater Is He That Is In Me, number 180. Greater is He that is in me, greater is He that is in me, greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Greater is He that is in me, greater is He that is in me, greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. On the day of Pentecost, a rushing mighty wind blew into the upper room and baptized all. With a power greater than any earthly foe. I'm so glad I've got it too. I'm gonna let the world know. Greater is He that is in me. Greater is He that is in me. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in me. Greater is He that is in me, greater is He that is in me, greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Greater is He that is in me, greater is He that is in me, greater is He that is in me than he that is in me. On the day of Pentecost, a rushing mighty wind blew into the upper room and baptized all of them. With a power greater than any earthly foe, I'm so glad I've got it too. I'm gonna let the is in the world. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Well, on the day of Pentecost, a rushing mighty wind blew into the upper room and baptized all of them with a power greater than any earthly foe. I'm so glad I've got it too. I'm gonna let the world know. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Praise you, Jesus. Praise God. We're going to turn now to number 19 and sing Some Trust in Chariots. Number 19. Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. And now know why that the Lord saveth his anointed. You hear him from his holy heaven, with the saving strength of his right hand. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. And I know why that the Lord saveth his anointed. You will hear him from his holy heaven, with the saving strength of his right hand. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. And now why that the Lord saveth his anointed. You'll hear them from his holy heaven, with the saving strength of his right hand. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, God. Praise your name. Well, we're going to turn to our Melodies of Praise hymnals now, and we're going to sing number 30, Standing on the Promises, number 30. Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. My Savior, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises that cannot fail, when the howling storms of doubt and fear assail. By the living word of God I shall prevail, standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing on the promises I now can see, perfect present cleansing in the blood for me, standing in the liberty where Christ makes free, standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of Christ the Lord, bound to him eternally by love's strong cord, overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword, standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises I cannot fall, listening every moment to the Spirit's call, resting in my Savior as my all in all, standing on the promises of God, standing. promises of God, my Savior, standing, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise God. And I encourage all of you to stand on the promises of God tonight. We are going to need to stand firm in the days that are ahead, because we are living in a period of time right now unlike any other period of time in history. And the world has changed so much. I wrote that last issue of the newsletter, the December issue, and I put it online on the 1st. I guess that would have been yesterday, and I believe we've mailed it today. So if you get it through the mail, you should be receiving it very soon. But it is truly remarkable, the things that we are seeing right now. And of course, they say now that we are just weeks away from the vaccine being ready for distribution. They're just waiting for final approval from the FDA. They've actually already started moving it strategically in within the United States, millions of doses. I believe they have millions of doses in the state of Michigan now. They're just waiting to start cranking those out, and they want to give them to all the elderly people first, and then the healthcare workers, and then the first responders, and so forth and so on. But it's really, truly amazing when you think about what's happening with these vaccines. And by the way, we don't know what the long-term effects of these vaccines will be, because the technology that they use to develop these vaccines has never been used before. And that could prove to be very consequential in the days ahead. We don't know exactly how it's going to affect people. But what's really remarkable is what might happen if you refuse to get that vaccine. And I wrote about that to some extent in a newsletter, how Qantas Airlines in Australia is now saying that they're going to be requiring that you receive the vaccine to fly on an international flight. And the head honcho there at Qantas said he's been talking to other airlines, and they're saying they're going to do the same thing. And all over the world, airlines are talking about doing this, requiring that you have the vaccine to fly. And now I saw a news report, I believe it was just yesterday, that in the United Kingdom, it's very possible that they might require you to get the vaccine if you want to go to a restaurant or a bar or the movie theater or whatever the case may be. Various businesses might be requiring this vaccine. And of course, they're not just going to take your word for it either. You'll have to show proof that you have the vaccine, and they're talking about how they're going to implement that. They're talking about immunity passports, and we don't know exactly what form that could take. They're talking about using people's passports that already have a RFID microchip. They're also talking about perhaps using people's mobile phones and putting the information on there so that it can somehow be read and presented to whoever it is checking you out. But I tell you what, down the line, it wouldn't surprise me at all if they also offered it in the form of a microchip. And it's very possible in the days ahead that you might not be able to conduct business, you might not be able to buy, you might not be able to sell if you don't get this vaccine. So we truly are seeing amazing times right now. And in the United States, I saw this on the news just the other day on ABC News. They're talking about how at the end of the year, and we're almost there, millions of people are on the verge of being evicted from their apartments. I believe it was something like 5.9 million, something like that. And the only reason these people have not been evicted already is because There's a moratorium on evictions right now, but all of these people owe back rent that they're not going to be able to pay anyway. Unless the moratorium is extended, they're going to lose their dwelling place. And I've also heard reports that millions upon millions upon millions of homeowners could lose their houses if they can't pay their mortgages in the early months of next year. So it's going to get very interesting. We've never quite seen things like this. And, of course, I've seen the video footage of long, 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 long lines of cars lining up at the food pantries and the food banks and the soup kitchens, just looking for a box of food so that they can go home and feed their families. There are millions of people in this country right now who are starving. In fact, I've heard reports that some parents are skipping meals so they can feed their children. Now, things like this haven't happened at a level like this since the Great Depression. And what we're seeing right now could end up being far worse than the Great Depression. Of course, Joe Biden, he came out and said, don't worry, help is on the way. But we'll see about that. Of course, we do know that we do have help, but I don't look to Joe Biden for help. I look to God. And that's why we need to stand on his promises tonight. That's why we need to keep standing on his promises, because we live in times that are extraordinarily uncertain, and we need to keep watching and praying, because we just don't know what's going to happen next. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to turn this over to Shirley now and see what the Lord has put on her heart tonight. Praise God.
Well, praise the Lord. Oh, I'm so glad we have Jesus. Yes, as Brother Samuel was saying, these are times like we've never seen before, and we sure do not know what's going to happen even days away from us right now. But praise the Lord, we do know our God is not going to forsake us when we need him the most. Amen. He's going to be with us. I'm so glad that he's with us even right now here tonight. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. It's wonderful to be able to worship him. It's wonderful to linger in his presence. Oh, my, these times are refreshing. And I'll tell you what, it's wonderful to have a church to come to and to praise the Lord, to open up his word. And oh, my, just to have this time together. And I'm so thankful that we can be online because, yes, I know our church extends way beyond these walls here. And I'm so glad the Lord has a people that he has called, a people that he loves, a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. And you know what? It's wonderful to be a part of that glorious church of the living God. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to pray here as we begin here tonight. Please join me as we pray. Oh, Heavenly Father. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for what you have done. Oh, Lord, we thank you for your promises. We thank you for the hope that we have in this earthen vessel, Lord. Oh, God, that we can call upon you, that we can worship you, Lord, that we can turn everything over to you, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, we need you, Lord. Oh, God, we know not what's coming next, oh, Lord, in this world. But I pray, oh God, that you'd give us courage, that you'd give us strength, that you'd give us, oh Lord, that deep knowledge deep inside that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Oh God, put that within us. And yes, help us to stand on thy promises. Help us, oh Lord, to know that they are sure, Lord, that they are sure, that they are amen. And oh God, that you, oh Lord, you're going to be with us. You're going to keep us. You're going to, oh, ever be mindful of us, Lord. And we thank you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. I pray that you'd be here tonight. I pray that you'd talk to your people. I pray that you'd be with them who have burdens. I pray that you'd help them that are sick, Lord. I pray, oh God, particularly for Mackenzie tonight, Lord, that you would touch her, that you'd heal her, that you'd give her faith, Lord, that you'd move any mountain that seems insurmountable, Lord. Pray, oh God, that you'd help her right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. Oh God, that all things, oh God, would be made whole, Lord Jesus. Oh God, I pray, oh Lord, that you talk to your people, Lord, that you help them that are sick. Oh God, help Magali tonight, Lord Jesus. Strengthen Judy, Lord God. Oh God, be with Penny, Lord God. I pray, oh God, you know your people. We're scattered, we're here, we're there, Lord. But how we need you, Lord. I pray that you'd work, Lord. I pray that you do wonders, God. I pray, oh God, that you touch us afresh. Oh Lord, that you'd heal the sick, Lord. Oh God, heal us from the infirmities. Oh Lord, oh God, touch Wild, Lord. Touch, oh Lord, that ability that she has, oh God, to move her arm and everything else, God, that, oh God, needs to be healed. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, we come to you tonight, Lord. Let the devil be bound. Let him have no place. Oh God, be here. Open up our hearts. Oh God, talk to our souls, Lord Jesus. Oh God, give us a strength that comes from thee, Lord. And oh God, that manna from heaven. Help us, Lord. Oh God, help us, Lord. Oh God, we prepare our hearts for that great day of the Lord. I pray, oh God, that you'd help us, Lord. Oh God, move, Lord, tonight. Use this scripture. Bring it to mind what you'd have to say. Oh God, I could do nothing without you, Lord. I pray that you'd work in Jesus' precious name by the power of the blood. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Oh, our God is so good. He's so wonderful. I'm so blessed to have him. Oh yes, and it's a wonderful thing to have his word. We don't have to walk in confusion. We have the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. We can rest in his promises and oh, know that he certainly is with us. Amen. Praise our God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to call this message After the Way That They Call Heresy. Of course, I'm taking that from the book of Acts and a message that Paul preached himself. But oh my, we live in a time where there's been a great selling out of the things that really matter. There's been a great forsaking of the truth. There's been a great falling away. You know, we've talked about that for a long time. But the things that we have seen in this short while are astonishing. And praise the Lord, we have God's word. Oh yes, we have God's word to know how to fight all these things. You know, that assumption that seems to be very prevalent that everybody pretty much is going to heaven. You know, whether you're a drunkard or a harlot or whatever, it just seems like, you know, it's assumed that people go to heaven. But oh my, we know that there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And oh yes, we know that there is one way to God. There's one Lord. There's one faith. There's one baptism. There's one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. And praise the Lord, we know that we need to give heed to the things that were written in the book of life. Amen. That we need to pay attention to the things that have been written in the Bible. Amen. Oh yes, because the way to heaven is not the mainstream. It's not the popular route. It's not going along with the crowd or the tendencies of the moment, the trends, all the things that are popular at the moment. But oh my, we know, as Jesus said, that we are to enter in at the strait gate. And I want to turn right now to Matthew, the 7th chapter. And praise the Lord, with his help, we're going to consider these things as the Lord would tell us, lead us here tonight, oh, as he will guide us in his word. But oh, yes, Matthew chapter 7, praise the Lord, part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. But here we are, verse 13. It says in verse 13, Matthew 7, "Enter ye in at the strait gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat." And then, oh yes, it explains, because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Oh my, what words these are. Obviously, from the context here, most everybody enters in at the wide gate. That's the easy route. That's what's most noticeable. That's what's most obvious to most people. And therefore, that's the way they go. If there's not a great searching and seeking after God, one can fall for most anything. But oh yes, it instructs so clearly here, the words of Jesus Christ, where, you know, he told us the great necessity to enter in at that straight gate, explaining that wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And very sadly, it says, many, many there be which go in thereat. Because the truth, the way that leads to life, is a straight way. It's a narrow way. We have to enter in at the straight gate. Yes, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Oh my, there is a need, oh, to hunger and thirst after righteousness. There is a need to search for the things of God and to desire spiritual truths. But oh my, obviously, as the scripture bears out, the way that is easily proclaimed, the conspicuous thing, is not the way that leads to everlasting life. And Jesus said in verse 15 here in the 7th chapter of Matthew, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." Oh my, and boy, you can see the deception here, how hard it might even be to detect them, because he is talking about prophets. They're false, but on the surface, they're going to look like sheep. In sheep's clothing, it says. But oh my, it says inwardly, they are ravening wolves. Oh, they're ready to devour. They're greedy. They're searching for prey. Their motives, their intentions are all wrong. And oh my, if that is who you're listening to, you're in for a terrible surprise. Goes on to explain in verse 16, "Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit." And then here Jesus is bearing down on it. In verse 18, he says, a good tree cannot bear forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. See, it's one way or the other. Either you're a good tree and you're going to bring forth good fruit, or otherwise you are that evil, corrupt tree that's going to bring forth evil fruit. He explained in verse 19, "Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire." Oh, that's the end. Oh my, we don't want our fruits to go in that direction by any means. Oh yes, because there's no hope with that. If our fruits are not genuine, if they are not true, if they are not wrought in the Lord Jesus, then they're going to perish. They're going to be cast down, and they are going to be burned in the fire. And then verse 20 tells us, "Whereby Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. I'm going to pause right now for a moment here in Matthew 7. I anticipate going back there, but just a minute, I do want to go to Galatians and cover what it tells us here in the fifth chapter of the book of Galatians. If you turn there with me, praise the Lord, amen. Praise the Lord. As we go to Galatians 5 and looking at verse 19, we see the description here of fruits or works, we must better say here, works of the flesh that, oh yes, reveal that one is not wrought in the Lord Jesus. So it explains in verse 19 here, Galatians chapter 5. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Oh, what a statement this is. You know, it's really to the point. And oh yes, here is this list that Paul wrote there to the church at Galatia here in this fifth chapter of Galatians. And we have these 17 characteristics here. And oh my, you know, clearly that isn't everything that's going to be damned. But, you know, it's a list. It's a pretty good covering list, I would say. And yes, it starts out with adultery and fornication. And you know, there's a difference between the two. Yes, you know, adultery bears with sexual relationships. Oh, yes, between married people. And then fornication is the other way. It's these lustful activities between those that are not married to each other. But it goes on to explain uncleanness. And there we have a list of things that we could put in that category. But, you know, things like homosexuality are certainly included in that list. Things that are filthy, lustful activities that God hates and are an abomination in his sight. And then it mentions lasciviousness, which is, yes, a condition of lewdness and all that kind of lustful type of activity likewise. And then it goes on to talk about idolatry. And of course, you know, obviously we think of idols that literally people bow down to and worship. But I believe that word encompasses a lot more area than that. I believe it talks about things in our life that we give our hearts to, that, oh yes, become a point of worship in our lives. And oh my, that is something that has to be watched, isn't it? Amen. And then, of course, it talks about witchcraft, and there's a whole lot of categories under witchcraft. Oh, we have seen such a rise in that, and I think many times people are engaged in such procedures or activities and perhaps not even knowing that they are a part of witchcraft. I know with the rise of Harry Potter and books of that ilk that, you know, many people just read it because, you know, it's fun material to them to read. But oh my, they don't realize that they may be, oh yes, gathering information on how to be a witch. You know, so many things, Dungeons and Dragons. I don't know how popular that is right now, but oh my, that was something that I actually was teaching people how to engage in occult activity. And so it goes on. And there's so many things, I'm sure many that I am not even aware of. But oh my, there's so much that encompasses witchcraft. And oh my, it's a part of much thinking. Oh yes, in this world that we live in right now. And then, yes, it mentions hatred. Oh my, oh how that gets into the heart at time. And oh my, we never want to have hatred deep down inside. That is something that, oh my, we never want to be embedded in our hearts. And then it talks about variance. And these are things like quarrels and that kind of activity that would be an active disagreement or dispute, some kind of strife. And then it talks about emulations. And yes, to emulate something, had to envy something that is not yours. It talks about some kind of rivalry in that way to desire things that are even a way or a lifestyle. I'm sure it can encompass a lot of areas in emulating others and yes, leading to envy and all of that sort of thing. And it goes on to talk about wrath. Oh, yes, wrath. Oh, that comes upon people at times and causes them to say hurtful, horrible things and to do things that they would do if they were in the right mind. And strife. Seditions, oh my, oh, this rebellion, this antichrist spirit that rises up in people, this anarchist type of thing that I believe is very much a part of many in this world today. And then it talks about heresies, and oh yes, and heresy, oh something, oh yes, that goes against other, well-respected tenets, or even in the sense, if we're speaking of the Bible, it would be something that comes against the teachings that are in the Word of God, and I believe that would be the context in which to think of it here in this verse. But oh my, we don't want any of these characteristics in our lives, do we? 21 here, verse 21, mentions envyings. And murders, and drunkenness, and revelings. Oh, yes, disorderly or immoral festivities, loud merrymaking, or all those kind of things, maybe with drugs and drunkenness and all the perversions of the world, all the things that people do when, oh, yes, they've given their hearts over to the devil. But, oh, yes, and it says, and such like. In other words, anything else that, falls in these categories or is similar to things that have been mentioned here. And yes, Paul went on to say, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Oh, that's just plain language, isn't it? I don't know what it is today, why people think they can get by with all kinds of sins in their lives and still think they're going to be able to face God, still think they're going to be able to go to heaven. This is, oh my, so mistaken. And oh my, how it needs to be brought to the surface. How it needs to be revealed before time is over and we all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And then, praise the Lord for the list that is given in verse 22 and 23. It says here, the fruit of the Spirit. And this isn't such a long list. But oh my, are these ever things, oh, to value, to treasure, to emulate. Praise the Lord, it says in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, the things that we need to strive for in our hearts. Oh, yes. Oh, to have that self-control that comes with temperance. Oh, yes. And oh, the gentleness and goodness that was in the Lord Jesus, his long-suffering and continual long-suffering for his people, for those that he died for. Oh, yes, and all the joy that comes forth from our souls when we've given it over to the Lord, the love, joy, and peace that comes from God. Oh, I don't believe you can really have love and joy and peace without the Lord. I believe these are traits that come from the presence of the Lord, from being with the Lord, from being filled with the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Oh, he gives us these things if we will turn our lives over to the living God and let him work in us. Oh, yes, it may be a bit of a road sometimes. Oh, things try to creep in and get the best of us and all, but praise the Lord, we can turn it over to God, can't we? And oh, yes, if things go awry, we can start again. Oh, yes, because we've got a God who is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness if we're just willing to confess our sins. Praise the Lord. But oh, yes, we want to have these attributes. We want to have these fruits in our heart. And this should be the goal. If we're trying to be a Christian, if we're striving to be like the Lord Jesus, these should be things that we're working on in our lives and crying out for and praying for, trusting the Lord to put it within us. And it explains in verse 24. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. In other words, there's a dying out to the old man. All those old tendencies and the things of the world, you know, all those attributes which were once a part of our makeup. Oh my, you know, perhaps, you know, some of those characteristics that we read in verses 19, 20, and 21 were a part of our lives in the past. But oh my, by the grace of the Lord, we've given it over to the Lord. Those are things, those are characteristics that are gone. And oh yes, we've crucified them. In other words, we've died out to those things. We've come to loathe them and to hate them and to have no desire for them whatsoever. And yes, that's a very clear statement too in verse 24. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts, these things that try to creep in. And I remember how Paul said that he died daily. I believe there is a daily taking up the cross and following the Lord Jesus. I believe there's a daily dying out to the old man, to the old self, to the old tendencies, the old characteristics, all the works of the flesh that once were a part of our lives. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, we crucify those things, those tendencies. If they try to rise up, oh yes, thank God if we can recognize it and put them down as quickly as possible. Praise the Lord for they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts, all these other things that, oh, tried to creep in, that, oh, are a part of the old man, the old nature, the old self. Verse 25 tells us, if we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Oh, that means to be led by the Spirit of the living God, letting him direct our lives, taking us where we need to go, making us, oh yes, to be what he would have us to be, to have his mind, to have his goals, to walk in the Spirit, and oh yes, to learn his will, what he would have us to do. See, that's all dying out to the old man. Oh, to giving it over to the Lord. Not my will, but thine be done. Dying out to the things of the flesh. So we can walk in the Spirit and not fulfill those lusts of the flesh. And this chapter ends, verse 26, by saying, let us not be desirous of vainglory. And oh boy, you know that prideful thing can rise up, oh my, and try to get the best of us. Oh, sometimes we just, you know, we don't want to have to feast on compliments and all those other things. You know, it says, let us not be desirous of vainglory or provoking one another or envying one another. Oh, Lord forbid that those things would be a part of our thinking, our life, our thought process. Praise the Lord. But I'm so glad Paul gave us this little list here. Oh, it gives us something to work on, doesn't it? And oh, it gives us a goal to strive for by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, I'm turning back to Matthew chapter 7. And we read, oh yes, that a good tree could not bring forth evil fruit and a corrupt tree could not bring forth good fruit. Oh, and sadly, yes, or, you know, well, this is, you know, honestly, it's all going to be made right. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. And then here we go to verse 21 here in Matthew chapter 7. And this, too, is something to consider here. Because as I began this message tonight, I mentioned how it just seems that most everybody seems to think that they're headed for heaven. And oh my, they may be banking on the words of the minister or what they read in a book or some TV evangelist. I don't know, you know, just, you know, thinking that they can trust their inner man to you know, help them to be good. I know, but that's a tendency in some people. I've actually talked to people who think that way. But let's look at verses 21 and 22 here. It tells us in verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Oh, this is serious material, is it not? Oh, so many think that they're going to get to heaven just by saying, Lord, Lord. But oh my, here we're told that's not so. It's going to take more. It's required that we do the will of our Father which is in heaven. In other words, we take up our cross daily and follow the Lord and seek his will, his ways, what he would have us to do. It explains in verse 22, many will say to me in that day, and look, the word is many. Oh my, it says many will say to me in that day. He's talking about that judgment time period when we stand before the Lord. Again, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? Verse 23 explains, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And oh my, these are serious words, but for sure there is a great need to depart from iniquity. Yes, you cannot live in your sin. You cannot continue to live in iniquity or in sin and be the Lord's. And he's talking about people that, you know, professed on the outward, you know, on the outward way to, you know, to be a Christian, you could say, even to prophesy in his name or even cast out devils and many other wonderful works. But inside, they're corrupted. They're living in sin. And they haven't given their hearts over to the Lord. Maybe they haven't even fully obeyed the gospel. You know, we do need to repent. We do need to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus for the remission of sins. And yes, we are told that we would receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And oh my, how we need to turn everything over to the Lord and not walk in error and not have things hidden on our heart or in our heart that would be works of iniquity. Oh, how we need the Lord. In Luke, the 13th chapter, it's somewhat similar, I believe. And, you know, it's interesting here. In Luke chapter 13, verse 23, it tells us, "Then said one unto him," unto Jesus, obviously, "Lord, are there few that be saved?" You know, obviously, this disciple, I would believe, you know, had observed that, you know, there were many that followed Jesus. But, you know, I would believe the observation was that after a while they saw some give up and go the other way or just, you know, forsake the Lord and just not have it in their heart to really follow through, to really be a disciple, to really take up the cross, to really do the works of the Lord, to do his will. So this question came up, "Lord, are there few that be saved?" And the answer is, verse 24, strive, oh, put an effort for, a great effort, strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and is shut to the door, and you begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, "Lord, Lord, open unto us," and he shall answer and say unto you, "I know you not whence you are." Then shall you begin to say, "We have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets." Oh, we had an acquaintance, Lord Jesus. I mean, we sat at thy table and we ate with thee. Oh, yes, you taught in the streets. Oh, we have an acquaintance. We know you. Oh, please open up unto us. But verse 27 declares, "But he shall say, I tell you, I know ye not whence ye are." You're not living wrong. You haven't obeyed the gospel. There's something that is wrong. And the words are, "Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity." Oh my, we don't want to be in that category. It's going to be worth everything to see Jesus. Oh yes, oh, to hear him say, "Well done." Oh yes, to be on that straight and narrow road that leads to eternal life, to have all things that were of the devil, of the old man, all washed away and wiped out, and oh, not a trace in our lives. Oh, it explains in verse 28, "There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of heaven," excuse me, "the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out." Oh, dear Lord, help us. Oh, my, we don't want to be thrust out from his sight. Oh, honestly, we must keep going on that straight and narrow path that leads to life everlasting. It's going to be worth everything to have our lamps trimmed and burning. Oh, yes, to be void of any offenses or any sin, anything, oh, that would cause us not to enter into the kingdom of God. Oh, these are serious things to consider. Little things tend to creep in at times. Oh, yes, the devil is hard at work, and he's watched humanity forever, ever since there was a human being. And oh, my, he has a lot of tricks up his sleeve. But praise the Lord, we've given our lives over to the Lord Jesus. been filled with the Spirit, then greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Praise the Lord. He gives us his overcoming strength so we can prevail, so we can win in this battle against the enemy and all the things that try to come against us and hinder us and even seeking to destroy us. All these works and all these thoughts, all these temptations and all the things of the devil in his mastery would try to do. But praise the Lord, oh, there is going to be a people. Oh, yes, that are faithful. Verse 29 tells us, and they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. Behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last. Oh, praise the Lord, the door of salvation is opened. It's still open tonight. If you haven't given your hearts over to the Lord, you still have a little time to get right, to get ready, to prepare yourself. Oh, yes, to depart from iniquity, to give it all over to the Lord Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, because, oh, that day is coming. The great gathering of the people of God. Oh, the angels of the Lord who come. Oh, yes. Oh, to find the elect of the Lord Jesus. Oh, yes. From the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. Praise the Lord. The great gathering of God's people all together, Lord, all together for all eternity to forever be with the Lord. Oh, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And praise the Lord. Yes. Behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last. Oh my, the ways of the Lord. But oh yes, that door of the ark is still opened right now, and you can still get on board. You can still give your heart, your life over to the Lord Jesus. Oh yes, you can get serious even right now, tonight, and make your amends with God. Amen. Oh, I pray that, oh yes, there would be nothing between us and our Savior. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to go to the book of Acts now. We've been talking about this straight and narrow way. And oh yes, I believe it is a way that Paul knew very well. And here in Acts, the 24th chapter, we have one of his addresses or his messages. And oh my, it's quite the circumstances here. He had gone to Jerusalem, and yes, as he was in the temple, there were certain Jews that came from Asia, it tells us in Acts the 21st chapter, and they stirred up the others, they stirred up the people against Paul when they saw him in the temple. And they let their minds just conjure up all kinds of things, and they came against Paul. And oh my, it became a great riot. It became a great thing, and he had to be rescued by the Romans. He had to be taken by night to Caesarea, otherwise they were going to kill him. And it was a plot, and they were dead serious. And this was the intents of their hearts. But God had a different thing in mind. He wasn't done using Paul yet. There were more things for Paul to do. So here in the 24th chapter of the book of Acts, we have him. Here he is in Caesarea, as I said, and he's been kept in Herod's judgment hall as a place of safety because, again, these angry Jews, they literally would have killed him if they would have been allowed to, but God had a wonderful way of preserving him, and that's a wonderful story and a wonderful lesson. You know, they had a plot against him, and God allowed a young man, I believe, Paul's sister's son, to overhear the plot, and he was able to go tell the chief captain what they were plotting, and praise the Lord, the chief captain heard the young man, and yes, Paul was rescued. They made haste, get ready, 200 soldiers to go to Caesarea and horsemen, 70, in other words, 70, and spearmen, 200, and at the third hour of the night, to get Paul out of that danger and to bring him into safekeeping under Felix the governor. So praise the Lord that all took place and God worked that out exactly. And here we are, chapter 24. Paul's there in Herod's judgment hall. And it tells us in verse 1, "And after 5 days, Ananias, the high priest, descended with the elders and with a certain orator named Tertullus, who informed the governor against Paul. And when he was called forth, Tertullus began to accuse him, saying, 'Seeing that by thee we enjoy great quietness, and that very worthy deeds are done unto this nation by thy providence.'" Of course, he's talking to the governor, and there's a little bit of flattery here, they've used this man, Tertullus. He's an orator, obviously he's very polished, and, this is who they want to, bring forth this problem, this situation here, that, these things they have against Paul. So he's declaring it here. It says in verse 3, "We accept it always, in all places, most noble Felix, with all thankfulness, notwithstanding that I be not further tedious unto thee." Let's get to the point now, in other words. "I pray thee that thou wouldest hear us of thy clemency a few words." Okay, you have mercy on us now, and listen, this is what we would, request of you, dear noble Felix. And then, yes, they come against their accusations against Paul. Verse 5, "For we have found this man a pestilent fellow and a mover of sedition among all the Jews throughout the world and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes." Oh my, and there's more lies that all come out here now. "Who also hath gone about to profane the temple, whom we took and would have judged according to our law. But the chief captain, Lysias, came upon us and with great violence took him away out of our hands." Well, they were going to murder him. And thank God that the chief captain, Lysias, was able to rescue Paul. Praise the Lord. There's a God in heaven who sees our needs and knows how to rescue us. Praise the Lord. But, they've got all these, things that they've devised against Paul. And they're bringing it out. It's, one lie after the other. But so it is. And that's how the devil works, And they're hoping, that, the governor will be on their side and give them what, they want. So anyway, yes, they said, verse 6 again, "Who also hath gone about to profane the temple." Oh, yeah, to make it despicable, desecrated, in other words. "Whom we took and would have judged according to our law. But the chief captain, Lysias, came upon us and with great violence took him away out of our hands, commanding his accusers to come unto thee by examining of whom thyself mayest take knowledge of all these things whereof we accuse him. And the Jews also assented, saying that these things were so." In other words, assented means here that they were consenting, as the story is being unraveled here, so to speak. The lies in reality is what they are. But praise the Lord, it tells us in verse 10, "Then Paul, after that the governor had beckoned unto him to speak." So the governor, Felix, is giving him the privilege to speak on his own behalf. And this is what he tells us here. This is his speech here to those that were accusing him. "Then Paul, after that the governor had beckoned unto him to speak, answered, For as much as I know that thou hast been of many years a judge unto this nation, I do the more cheerfully answer for myself, because that thou mayest understand that there are yet but 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem for to worship. Verse 12, and they neither found me in the temple disputing with any man, neither raising up the people, neither in the synagogues nor in the city. Oh, they had, you know, all these lies that, you know, they, you know, were bringing out, you know, to accuse Paul, but it was all false stuff. And Paul declares in verse 13, neither can they prove the things whereof they now accuse me. But this is what he said. Oh my. Verse 14 tells us, but this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets, and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and unjust. And herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. Oh my, what a declaration. But oh yes, he is confessing here in verse 14 that it's after the way, oh, that these Jewish rebels call heresy. That's what they called the true way of God. Oh, that was their word for declaring that the Christians were false teachers, that they were heretics. In today's world, it would probably be a cult or all these other things that are more currently assumed when, you know, there is not understanding or even compassion in a certain area or desire even to know what is true. But oh yes, it was the way that they call heresy. Oh, praise the Lord. So worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. Oh, praise the Lord, the wonderful unfolding of the Word of God. This wonderful book that we've been given, the Word of God, the Old Testament and the New Testament, all the prophetic utterances that had been declared throughout time. Oh, yes, those things that had prophesied of the grace that would come to pass. Oh, yes, of the coming Messiah, the one who would come into the world to give us a hope beyond this world. Oh yes, to bring us to God, to make a way so that we could come to God and have our sins forgiven. Oh, we wouldn't have to fall back. Oh yes, on sacrifices to, you know, atone for sin, the blood of bulls and of goats, of lambs, you know, of creatures to temporarily atone for our sin. But oh, praise the Lord, oh, the wonderful plan of God, which was written in the law and in the prophets, so that there would come one out from among them who would declare the ways of truth. And oh, yes, how wonderful it is to be on that other side of Calvary where we are tonight. Oh, to know that he has come, that the Savior has come into the world, that we can embrace the gospel and that there is hope. Oh, yes, in believing the wondrous words of life. But oh, to those that believe not, it is a way that they call heresy. Oh, yes, they would, you know, prefer to, you know, think that, you know, the truth is a teaching or opinion that is astray from theirs. Oh, yes, some kind of difference with their established religious beliefs. But oh, praise the Lord, there is a way again that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And oh, how we need, oh, to turn to the Word of God and see what it declares, see what is really written, not just believing somebody's word for what, you know, they think, or some book for what it writes, or what we just think we instinctively know. But oh my, the words of life that are written in the pages of this Holy Bible that we who know our God love and cherish and hold so dear. Yes, because it contains the words of life. It tells us how to get to heaven. It tells us how to pick up our cross, to carry our cross and follow the Lord Jesus. Yes, it tells us how to enter in at the straight gate and walk that narrow road that leadeth unto life. Oh, praise the Lord, you're not going to get there if you just follow the mainstream, if you do what everybody else is doing, if you just listen to, you know, professors and preachers that, you know, are teaching out of their own knowledge, their own instinctive thing, or what they think, or what they want to teach. No. Oh, thank God, there is a truth that comes from God's word if we will embrace it. No, if we'll look to it and let it talk to our hearts, and oh, let it, oh my, move in our lives so that, you know, everything that would separate us from God can be removed. Oh, praise the Lord, so that we can get our hearts right with God and walk this straight and narrow way, not give in to the whims of the flesh and all the other things that everybody else is doing. Oh, the things that maybe the flesh cries for and craves. No, we need to put down that old man and give everything over to our God and let him be our shepherd. Let him be our guide. Oh, let him direct us so that we can walk in his ways and do his will. Oh, yes, and be faithful to bear good fruit, amen. Oh, yes, we don't want any of those ugly old works of the flesh in our lives. No, we need to give it all over to the Lord so that, oh, yes, we can stand. We can stand. Oh, Paul had all these that were aimed against him. His own, you know, his own people, his own Jewish people were there hitting him hard. Oh, accusing him, wanting to kill him. And it would have been a lot easier just to give in and, yeah, okay, yeah, yeah, oh, well, this is too hard. I just can't do it anymore. But, oh, praise the Lord, Paul had something deep in his heart. Oh, the Lord had met with him. And, oh, my, everything changed when God met with him there on the road to Damascus, and that light from heaven struck him and even blinded him. And all at once he realized it was Jesus that he was persecuting. Oh, that Jesus was Lord, that Jesus was God. And oh, what a realization. Oh, when he realized what he had been doing, how he'd been thinking, how he'd persecuted the Christians, how he'd hailed them in and brought them in, oh, so that they would be killed. Oh, but thank the Lord, there was a disruption to that pattern. God intervened in his life and pulled him out. Praise the Lord. Did he pull you out of that road that leadeth to destruction? Did he get you out of there? And here is Paul. Oh, yes, he has all these others against him, all ready to accuse him and to seize him and kill him. And, you know, this great orator just making his little speech with all these lies. But praise the Lord, here's Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, standing on the promises of God, praise the Lord, and unrealizing, oh, they were bringing forth lies that were unfounded, unstable, resting in their own thoughts and evil ways, their evil motives. And here it is. Oh, yes, Neither can they prove the things whereof they now accuse me, he said. Verse 13, verse 14, but this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets, and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and unjust. Oh, I don't know what's in front of us. I don't know what will happen with this vaccine. Oh my, I don't know what they will demand or what they will try to do. We know that evil men and seducers have waxed worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. We know that we're in the end time. We've seen all these things coming to pass, and now, oh my, we've got all these things in front of us right now. But what we need deep, deep within our hearts is a love for the truth, a love for the Word of God, and that ability to stand against all odds and realize, oh, even if we stand alone, that God will be with us, that God will help us. And oh my, if we have to die, we'll just enter in to the presence of the Lord. And praise the Lord, they might call the way of the truth heresy. They might call us heretics. Who's to know what they might try to do? But oh my, we want to have it so deep in our hearts that nothing can shake us. Oh, nothing can hinder us. Oh, that no matter what, we're going to walk with the Lord. We're going to do His will. We're going to declare His ways. And we're going to stand up. We're going to stand up and say it. And oh my, what a testimony Paul had. I look at verse 16 again, and it says, and herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. Oh, praise the Lord. That's our goal. We don't want anything in our conscience that would be an offense toward God, that would separate us from God or from man. We don't want anything to have entered into our lives. And what a testimony Paul had. Oh, praise the Lord. Recently, I've had several talks with a dear lady in New York State, and she's a Puerto Rican woman. I've talked with her through the years from time to time, and recently, her name is Magali, by the way, she was hospitalized. She had a heart surgery, and she's on our prayer list. You may be noticed, you have seen our prayer list. But anyway, she had heart surgery, and you know, I guess that seemed like it went okay, but you know, she no sooner got out of the hospital and there was something really wrong. And come to find out, she couldn't hardly stand. And I believe, you know, she passed out, if I'm recalling properly here. And they found out back at the hospital that she had internal bleeding. And so, praise the Lord, she's been in the hospital these several days. But praise the Lord, I believe the internal bleeding problem was corrected, and then she tested positive for COVID, and you know, she didn't feel like she had any of the symptoms, but I don't know, it was declared that it was systematic. I don't quite know just how this all fits in, but anyway, she's been there in the hospital, but now she's home. She's home again. They wanted to, I put her in a place for a transition, but she said, I just want to go home. But you know, while she was at the hospital, she was on a mission. And what did this dear lady do? She talked about Jesus. She believed she passed out 100 tracts or so. And oh, she, you know, she gave me one reference. She was talking to an individual who was tending to her needs, and you know, talking to him about Jesus, and you know, he said, "Well, I'm a Catholic." And she boldly said to him, "Well, that isn't going to be good enough. You can't stand on another religion. You have to have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. You have to surrender your will to the Lord. You have to get right with God." She talked to this man. And praise the Lord, I pray that he heard her and will give heed to what she said. But there she was, this very sick woman, passing out tracts and telling people about Jesus. And you know, there's no shame. You know, she says, "To my dying breath, I want to talk about Jesus. I want to pass out my tracts. I'm not going to go anywhere without my tracts," she said. And she said, "I'm not ashamed. I'm a Pentecostal woman. Yes, I wear skirts and I have long hair." But you know, praise the Lord, she's not ashamed of Jesus. And I think that's so beautiful. I couldn't help but think of her when I read that verse earlier today, as Paul was saying, "And herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward man." Oh, how we want to stand before God. We don't want anything to be between us and our God. And oh, we want to have that testimony. Oh, that we please God. Oh, yes, that our conscience is clear of any offense, anything that would separate us from the love of Jesus Christ. Oh, mighty thing. Oh, that would keep us out of heaven. And what a desire, what a motive, what a goal. We must have that goal. Oh, yes, and he continued to tell his story here. Verse 17, "Now after many years I came to bring alms to my nation and offerings, whereupon certain Jews from Asia found me purified in the temple, neither with multitude nor with tumult or uproar," or all the things they accused him of, "who ought to have been here before thee and object if they had aught against me, or else let these same here say, if they have found any evil doing in me while I stood before the council. Except it be for this one voice that I cried, standing among them, touching the resurrection of the dead, I am called in question by you this day." Oh my, oh, Paul had that love. And oh my, if it was their questioning of the resurrection of the dead that all brought him into this place, then so be it. It is the word of God. And we stand on the word of God. This is what's going to matter when we stand before God. Are we embedded in his word? Is it in our hearts? Have we given our lives over to God? That is what's going to matter. It's not how popular we are, or, you know, how cool we are, or, you know, what neat things we did, or what accomplishments we made, or what how many letters we have after our name. Oh, God help us. We just want a clear conscience when we stand before God. We just want to hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Oh, thou hast been faithful in little. Oh, but I will make you ruler over many. Enter into the joys of my Lord." Isn't that what you want to hear the Lord say? Oh, don't you want his approval? Isn't that what's going to matter more than anything else in this world? Oh, what come or may not come. Oh, you know, what all. We don't want anything to separate us from the Lord Jesus. The chapter continues. "And when Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way, he deferred them and said, 'When Lysias, the chief captain, shall come down, I will know the uttermost of your matter.'" In other words, he delayed, you know, making a decision at that moment and put it off. And, you know, when Lysias, the chief captain, comes down, then, yeah, we'll think about this, it sounds like. And it says in verse 23, "And he commanded a centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty, and that he should forbid none of his acquaintance to minister or come unto him. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And this is how Paul dealt with him. And he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Basics from the Word of God. It tells us Felix trembled. Felix trembled. Oh, there was conviction there. Oh, yes, I believe Paul was telling him. Oh, yes, of God's righteous power. His great need to get right. Oh, so he could stand before the living God. It tells us, oh, yes, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." I don't know if that convenient season ever came. You can put off the thing that matters more than anything else in this world, and that's getting right with God. You can think, I'm going to do it when it's convenient, when it's just a little more easy. Oh, yes, when I'm ready. But there is no guarantee that that moment is going to arrive. You're going to have such an occasion. How can we say, we don't know. We don't know what's going to happen tonight. We've seen tumultuous things happening this last year, the last months. And who's to know what will happen down the road? Oh, I thank God that we can gather here tonight. I thank God that this message can go across the airwaves. And I thank God that we still have time to turn our lives over to the living God to get right. Oh, yes, to purify ourselves in the sight of God, to get rid of anything that might separate us from God. Oh, I thank God for such a moment. Oh, Felix was under conviction, obviously. He trembled. Oh, when Paul talked of him and reasoned with him of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. But he put it off. And I don't know the rest of the story. Perhaps God did give him opportunity to get right. I don't know that. It doesn't tell us. But he said in verse 25, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." And it says he hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. But, you know, he weren't going to bribe Paul. He wasn't going to give money so he could be freed. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm so thankful. Oh, my, there may be a way that, oh, to many seems straight and narrow. But thank God for this way, because this road less traveled, this straight gate, this narrow way, few being that find it, leads home to heaven, takes us home to heaven. Oh yes, we might have to give up some things in this world. We might not know many people. We might be quite alone. Oh my, we might not have funds. Oh my, we might not have family for all we know. But all we know, if we have Jesus, if we're walking the straight and the narrow way, if we're walking after the way they call heresy, praise the Lord, that way leads home. It takes us to heaven. Praise the Lord, so we can be forever at home with the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord Jesus. Oh, God, we praise thee. We love thee. Oh, God, we turn to thee with all our hearts. And God, I pray that you would talk tonight, Lord. I pray, oh, Lord, that you would convict. And oh, God, I pray, oh, Lord, that we would all make our calling and election sure. Lord, speak tonight, Lord Jesus. Let thy still small voice be heard, Lord God. Oh, God, help us, Lord. For we know now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. Oh, we praise thee. We thank thee in Jesus' name, Lord. talk to every heart. Help us, Lord, to be ready. Oh, God, for that moment. Oh, Lord, we stand before thee, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, give us that strength. Give us that boldness. Give us that faith. Give us that courage. In the name of Jesus, I pray, by the power of the blood, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise our God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, God.
Praise the Lord. In closing, we're going to open our chorus books to number 171 and sing "I'm Satisfied with Jesus," number 171. I'm satisfied with Jesus. I'm satisfied with Jesus. I'm satisfied with Jesus in my soul. Oh yes, I'm satisfied with Jesus. I'm satisfied with Jesus. I'm satisfied with Jesus in my soul. Now you can't make me doubt it. No, you can't make me doubt it. Well, you can't make me doubt it in my soul. Well, now you can't make me doubt it. No, you can't make me doubt it. Well, you can't make me doubt it in my soul. Oh, yes, I'm satisfied with Jesus. I'm satisfied with Jesus. I'm satisfied with Jesus in my soul. Oh, yes, I'm satisfied with Jesus. I'm satisfied with Jesus. I'm satisfied with Jesus in my soul. Now you can't make me doubt it. No, you can't make me doubt it. Well, you can't make me doubt it in my soul. Well, now you can't make me doubt it. No, you can't make me doubt it. Well, you can't make me doubt it in my soul. I'm satisfied with Jesus. I'm satisfied with Jesus. I'm satisfied with Jesus in my soul. Oh yes, I'm satisfied with Jesus. I'm satisfied with Jesus. I'm satisfied with Jesus in my soul. Now you can't make me doubt it. No, you can't make me doubt it. Well, you can't make me doubt it in my soul. Well, now you can't make me doubt it. No, you can't. can't make me doubt it. Well, you can't make me doubt it in my soul. Praise the Lord. Bless you all. Have a wonderful night. Be safe. Praise God. Hallelujah.